Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to, this passage is about the parables of the kingdom of heaven, right? In your Bible, you will notice that there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of God. How many of you have heard this, that they're different? Anybody? Okay. The kingdom of God is what? It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom, right? And in the church age, that's the part of the kingdom we're a part of. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And that is the literal, visible, physical kingdom that the Lord was talking about when He gave Adam. Adam was the king over all the earth, and He established His covenant with David, and He was going to rule from the throne of David. And then when there were times on earth where they were both there together, Adam had a relationship with God, and he had dominion over the garden. They were there together. Adam fell, the spiritual kingdom left, and then you have the physical one, right? And then when he had the covenant with David, that was visible, right? And then when Jesus Christ was here, they were both here together. And he was offering it to the Jews. And remember, and this is really important when you go to interpret Bible and you want to know what it means, because remember when you're reading through the Bible and the Lord's like, hey, I'm going to the cross. And Peter's like, what in the world are you talking about? You can't go to the cross. We're going to kill these people and take back our kingdom. Right? And that's why they were confused, because the Lord was offering them. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but they rejected it. Right? First, there were three murders. Remember, they murdered John the Baptist. They allowed him to be murdered. Then they asked for Jesus to be murdered. And then they murdered Stephen themselves. Right? And every one of those things was a significant step in that downward spiral in the nation of Israel. When they murdered Stephen, the Lord said, okay, forget it. I'm going to take the gospel and I'm going to give this to a nation that'll bear fruit. So, Jesus has come to this point in Matthew chapter 13 where he knew the growing opposition of the religious leaders would lead to his crucifixion. And this had to be explained to his disciples. But their obvious question is, well, what about the kingdom that we've been preaching about? What's going to happen to the kingdom? And so the Lord explained the truth concerning the kingdom, and later he would explain them the facts about the cross. So he gave them seven parables that were interrelated and about the kingdom of heaven. And that's what these are. Now, the word parable means this. It means cast alongside of. It's a story about something that you understand to illustrate a truth that you can't understand. And so the disciples asked them, he said, why do you talk to them in parables? And you know what he said? That seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not hear, you hid them from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. And here's how the Lord wants to give you truth. He'll give you understand the sower and the seed. They say, well, we understand that. We understand agriculture. You understand the mustard seed and the trees. Yes, you understand the leaven and bread and how you understand all that stuff. And the guy goes home and he says, what was he talking about? And as he ponders that, you know what the Lord allows the Lord to do? To give him more truth. And you see, the Lord wants to give you truth. Every one of you sitting here, the Lord wants to give you truth and he wants to give you wisdom. And he's laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. But you know how you're going to get that wisdom? You're going to have to search for it like you search for the mushrooms on Mario. You're going to have to look for it like you look for the flower so you can spit fireballs at the little marshmallows that are brown running by. In other words, if you're ever going to get truth from the Lord, you're going to have to ponder and search for it. And the Lord delivers truth in such a way you're like, what are you talking about? And why would you say something like that? And you know the greatest sermons that the Lord has ever given me in the Bible? It's when I said, Lord, why did you say that? I would never say something like that. Right? But why did you say that? No man taketh a piece of old cloth and sews it onto new garments. What does that have to do with fasting? What does that have to do with what they were asking? And through that question, listen, please, for the rest of your Christian life, do not ignore questions. That's how the Lord leads you to truth. You know, the Lord will give you the answer to those things, but that's how He does, and that's why He spake to them in parables. So what are some questions that you've pondered? Think about them. Pray about them. You know, one question I had for years is this. For 12 or 14 years, I had this question. The Lord would heal somebody, and He said, now don't tell anyone what I told you. And I'm thinking, Lord, when I do something nice for somebody, I say I have one requirement. Tell everybody what I did for you. That's the opposite of what I would do. Sometimes I only do nice things for people so they'll tell other people and I'll look good. Why would you do this? And then you read about how the Lord would not be able to minister to people because there's people everywhere wanting to heal him. And you know what the Lord showed me about that question that I had for 12 years? Because He told the maniac of Gadara to go and show what the Lord did, because the Lord did something spiritual for him and not physical. And the Lord did not want you to think that He came to heal your body, but He wanted you to understand that He came to heal your soul. That's why He didn't want to be the candy man. Amen? He wasn't here to give everyone winning lottery tickets. He was here to do something spiritual for their soul. So, that's why He talked to them in parables. And the kingdom of heaven is divided into three sections. It gives the beginning of the kingdom. It gives the opposition to the kingdom. And it gives the end of the kingdom. And look, I'll just show you for a second how parables work. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came to Him and said unto Him, why speakest Thou unto them in parables? They're like, hey, Lord, we don't understand. Why did You do this? And guess what happens? All this truth comes out of that question. You see that? That's why the Lord does it. And so sometimes those things are there on purpose to get you seeking and looking. The Lord wants you to get questions and follow after to know and understand the Lord. All right? And so, now, this is the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? But it also relates to what the Lord is doing in Christianity as a whole. Okay? So you have the church, which is when you get saved, you become part of the body of Christ, right? That's an organism. It's a living organism that you become a part of when you become born again. But there's another thing called the church that's also an organization, and that's the local church, right? And they're not different, but God operates many times through the local church. And so, you know how you can see how the devil is working in the kingdom of heaven, you can see also how the devil works in your life and how he works in the church. So I want to focus on these three parables. You have the sower and the seed, you have the wheat and the tares, and you have the mustard seed, right? Now let's just look quickly at these, and what I'm going to be focusing on here is how the devil operates. Okay? Because how the devil is operating here in the kingdom of heaven is also how he's going to operate at Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church. And it's also how he's going to operate in your life. Now, don't you think it'll be helpful to understand how the devil operates in our church and in your life? That way, when things happen, you know what's happening and you know why it's happening and you know how he operates. You need to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer you get to the devil. So, you've got to understand how he works. Okay? So, look at chapter 13, and he is telling this whole multitude this, and he says this in verse 3, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not earth, and they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, withered away. Listen, Jesus Christ is the root. If they did not have a root, they weren't saved. Okay? And you see this, what happens in these soils are the hearts of humans. And when the Lord was looking at the multitude, He had some stony places. He had some by the wayside that were bad hearts. He had some that were good hearts. Okay? And you know what the test is to know whether it is good heart, good soil, good person? Is fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Not everyone bears 100-fold fruit, but every Christian bears some fruit. Right? And so he says this, so that guy has, that's like an emotional response, you know? And I see that in church so much, and that's why we try to be very careful when we're working with children and people. Do you understand? Because, you know what happens is people hear this and, you know, I've been guilty of this, trying to trigger an emotional response, and I'll hold you over hell and scorch you, and you'll get scared, and, you know, I want to get saved, but then there's no depth there. It was an emotional response, and it never lasts, right? And it says, and some fell among thorns. You cannot add Jesus to your mix of problems. You know, like Brother Phil's been talking about in Sunday school when those boys came to Joseph. And if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a great thing. But if those boys came to Joseph and he said, hey, Benjamin's not here. Don't even come back until you bring Benjamin. You see, the Lord wants, He wants everything. He wants all that there is, right? And you know what people do? They get problems and they try to add Jesus to their mix of problems. And maybe by taking some vitamin Jesus and some X-lax Jesus, He'll calm their problems down. No. That's not what it is. That's falling among thorns and the cares of this life and deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke it, because it's not the main thing. It's not the only thing. It's adding it to that, right? But others fell into good ground, and I hope that's what you are. And I hope that's what I am. I hope that's what our children are. And brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Okay? Look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh what? The wicked one. That's the devil. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So I would like to say this. Number one, how the devil operates in your life and my life and the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of in the church. You know what he does? He takes away the word. Okay? I remember when I planted grass in my yard, or we used to plant things when I grew up around the Amish people. And you know what would happen all the time is the birds would come. And any seed that fell on the sidewalk or the ground that was not broken up, you know what would happen to that seed? The birds would come and take it. And if the birds took it, the seed could never germinate. Right? And why did the seed not go down into the human heart? Why did it not go down into the earth and germinate? For one reason, the heart, the soil, was unprepared. Okay? And it said they didn't understand it. You see, you can sit in church and you can hear about the Bible so much that you can know what's in between Nebuchadnezzar's image's toes because you read it in the footnotes. Amen? But if you don't understand it, it avails you nothing. It doesn't do you any good. You know, I grew up in a church in places, and they said you got to read your Bible 5 million times a year, right? So I'd read my Bible and read my Bible, and I didn't understand it. You know what it did for me? No good. Not until you absorb it and understand it and digest it, right? So you know what you ought to do if you don't understand things? You ought to ask questions. But you know, the devil, what he does is he takes away the word. He takes away the seed. And you know why it's easy for him to take it away? Because so many times we come into church and our hearts have not been prepared. They haven't been plowed. You know what some of us were doing before we stepped into church? We were on Facebook and YouTube and been reading about Donald Trump. Some of you know more about Donald Trump than you do Jesus. And he scares you more than Jesus scares you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the fear of Donald Trump. Amen? Why are you so worried about it? Amen? Fear the Lord. And people, they don't prepare themselves. They don't prepare their heart. And they come to church completely unprepared to get what God has for them. You know what happens? The seed comes down, the Word of God comes down, and they're like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And they walk out and turn on the radio, and the devil comes and just swoops it. And it does them absolutely no good. Be ye hearers of the Word, doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And where the Word of God takes effect in your life is when there is application. There's an understanding of what needs to be done, and there's a doing of what needs to be done. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to allow the Lord to prepare your heart. And you know what happened to the multitudes? They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And in verse 36, Jesus sent the multitude away. And then His disciples came unto Him and said, declare us the parable of the tares of the field. He said, tell us what you're talking about. And it doesn't do any good for a preacher to use big words and confuse people. You need to try to make it understandable. And you know what happens? Confusion. And the devil is the author of confusion, isn't he? And you know what happens? A preacher will get up and preach and they'll say, well, they say this and they say this and the charismatics say this and Christians say this and the Muslims say this and I don't know what to believe. And you know what happens? The devil takes the word away. I went to this barber up the road for about 8 years. And I go there and I say, you must be born again. And I'd open the Bible and I'd show him, you must be born again. And you know what he said? He said, well, I don't understand what it's talking about. I said, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Lord. Of course you can't understand it. Amen? You need to be born again and you need to be saved. He said, well, you know, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says this. And you know, I've heard so many people, listen to this. And this is one of my favorite quotes about reading the Bible. What marvel you say you can't understand it when you do not read it. But still you say, I cannot understand it. How shouldest thou understand if thou wilt not read nor look upon it? Take the books into thy hands. Read the whole story, and that thou understandest, keep well in memory. That thou understandest not, read it again and again and again. If thou canst neither come so by it, counsel with someone else that is better learned than thee. Go curate thy preacher and show thyself to be desirous to know and learn. And I doubt not, but God, seeing thy diligence and readiness If no man else will teach thee, will himself vouchsafe with his Holy Spirit to illuminate thee and to open unto thee that which was locked from thee. You know who wrote that? Thomas Cranmer in the preface to the Great Bible, which was one of the Bibles that came before King James Bible. You must know it. Ignorance and confusion is no excuse. And stop thinking that ignorance is an excuse. How many of you have taken a driver's license test and you have a driver's license? Do you know why you have a driver's license? Because what you did not understand, you learned. And when you took the test the first time, if you failed it, you couldn't say, well, I didn't know. They say, well, you better learn it. If you got any kind of professional degree, a law degree or nursing degree or a bachelor's degree or associate's degree, you took a test somewhere and you learned something. So why in the world won't you learn something that God wants you to learn that's a whole lot more important than your degree here on earth? Because it has eternal value. Lord, prepare my heart to receive your truth. Lord, prepare me to receive what the preacher has to say. I don't want the word to fall by the wayside. Lord, prepare my heart to receive your thoughts. And you know what? Sometimes when God prepares your heart, it's not very easy. I don't know if you've tilled or plowed a field. But you know what happens is there's a resistance that takes place to that plow. And the deeper that plow goes, the more the nutrients can be brought up to the top and the fallow ground can be broken up. And the greater God has a capacity to work on your heart when you've allowed Him to plow it. I planted a garden over here beside the church and I went to Home Depot and I rented the biggest tiller they had with a Honda motor on it. And I went there and I plowed up a huge section of my backyard, and wherever the tiller was allowed to go down deep and the ground didn't resist it, but it kind of like when you're tilling, if the ground's receptive, it'll just kind of like pull the tiller blades down into it and it'll almost stall the motor out as it churns up that fresh earth. And then I got to other places where I would hit these hard, gravelly spots, and it's like that tiller would just grind on the top. And when I planted all those tomato plants, the ones that brought forth 100-fold is the ground that allowed that tiller to go down in there. And when God is trying to plow your heart and you have difficult things and hard things happening in your life, stop resisting the Lord and start praying and saying, Lord, allow this plow to go down and prepare my heart for the truth that you have to give to me. And I don't care how difficult and how hard it is, Lord, please break up my fallow ground. Listen, I have been no stranger to difficulties and problems. And the greatest truth that God gives you can only come after long periods of brokenness where the plow has been allowed to plow down deep. The other day a few months ago, I was reading. And I was going through a big period of brokenness because God was trying to teach me something and I just wasn't prepared to receive it. But I was saying, Lord, I don't even, it's somewhere. You're trying to show me something and Lord, what, can you prepare me and get me ready to receive this truth? And I was reading, and I read some free books online sometimes, and I was reading Aesop's Fables. You know, anyone heard of that? And this is like reading Proverbs. It's incredible. And I reading this, and he told this story, and he said there was a house full of mice, and there was a cat that heard about this house full of mice, And the cat said, well, that sounds like a good idea. And the cat went and moved into the house full of mice. And every day the cat caught a mouse and he ate a mouse. And one day the mice wisened up to what was going on and they said, we're not going to put up with this any longer. We will take to our holes. And we're not going to get eaten by this cat any longer. And the cat said, well, that's odd. And the only way I'll be able to eat them now is if I lure them out by some trick. So the cat climbed up on the wall and he hung himself down from his two hind legs on the peg on the wall and pretended to be dead. By and by, a mouse popped his head out of the hole and he said, ha! You old cat, you can pretend to be a bag of meal if you want. But we will never get close enough to you again for you to eat us. And then it said this, a wise man will never be deceived by the innocent airs of those he had once considered to be dangerous. And the day before I had a conversation and I said, what are you doing, you dummy? And the person on the other line said, oh no, I am your advocate. I would help you and I have never done anything and all I have ever done is try to defend you and try to defend you. And I said, there's something fishy about that. And you know what happened? The next day that person tried to destroy me. Tried to hurt me with everything that Judas had at his disposal. And I was pulling out of the driving way of my parking lot. And the Lord said, I just taught you that truth in such a way that you'll never forget it. But you know what it did? It took a lot of plowing to get that truth down there. So you know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to let the soil be broken up so He can get the Word of God there and the devil can't take it away. You're going to walk out these doors and the fowls of the air are ready to snatch what you've heard and take it away because you're focused on something else. Look at chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. You see, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest and the time of the harvest. And I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, but gather ye the wheat into my barn. And look at verse 44 again. No, they said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field in verse 36 and verse 37. He said unto them, he that sowed the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the Word and the good seed are the children. You see, first parable, the seed was the Word of God, right? And now the seed are the children. And you know what the Bible says? It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. See, the Word became flesh. And he said, but the tares are children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is in the world, and the reapers are gathered. Right? And so, number two, not only does he take away the word, and he works in that, you know, the devil showed up under the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he started messing with the words of God. Not only does he work there by taking away the word of God, but you know what else he does? He plants lost people in important positions and churches and kingdoms and ministries, may I dare say, in families and in friendships. In these next three parables, he shows that the devil is an imitator. He plants false Christians. He encourages false growth. And he introduces false doctrine. Now, isn't it amazing that he just comes and plants lost people? And then, you know what happens after he plants them? He goes his way. And that's pretty insightful. You see, the devil doesn't have to stay at church. He just has to bring some people here. And he says, I'm going to go on. My work here is done. You know why? Because you know how he works in the local church? He works through people. And there are plenty of people that are more than willing to do the devil's work for him. See what he does? Goes on down the road. But he left the evil ones, his children, the tares behind. And I can tell you that he plants these tares, right? And then the first one, when the heat gets on, the first one's to be rooted up and to be gone, or not the wheat, but they're the tares when the heat gets on, right? So thank the Lord that the tares are the first ones to fall. And you know what I've noticed? That I think it's so easy for some folks to leave church because their heart is not there. People that love something don't give something up they love that easily. And he cannot uproot good believers and true believers. So, you know what he does? He plants counterfeit Christians in their midst. And the seed is the real believers and the ones that become converted. And Jesus is putting these good Christians in places so they might bring forth light and bear fruit. But wherever God plants a good one, the devil comes along and plants a counterfeit one. And so, you know what everybody can only see? They can only see the counterfeit one. How many? There's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in church. Well, that's not necessary. There's some people in church that want to love God and do right. The best people I've ever met in my life have been at church. Also, the tares and the worst people. Well, I don't trust preachers. You know what they do? And yeah, there's some tares. But there's also some people that love you and care for your soul and want to give you the truth. But you know, the attention is usually focused on the tares because that's what people say. And why does he do this? Because if you plant a good plant, and that plant's going to grow, if you plant a plant beside it that's not good, then they're going to be competing for space, and they're going to be competing for sunlight, and they're going to be competing for nutrients, and that wheat plant won't be able to produce as much wheat as long as the tare is there. Right? And you know what's the interesting thing about tares and wheat is you can't tell which is which until it comes to fruit-bearing time. That they look the same. Lost people make the same kind of church members that look the same sometimes as saved people do. But you know where the difference is? The fruit. It's the fruit. You can have a bunch of trees and you can have a bunch of leaves, but where is the fruit? And the fruit is the difference. And you know what else the devil does is he does it while they're sleeping. So don't fall asleep. They, you know, He comes in and you know, the Bible says this. It says, by your fruit you shall know them. You know that? And the problem is sometimes we just take snapshots of people and we try to say, oh, there's no fruit. But you got to look at it over a lifetime, you know? And you and I can't always do that. But it says, by your fruits ye shall know them. And in my experience, and this isn't indefinite, but tares never get victory in their life. They can go to church for years and years and years and years, and sin is not being diminished in their life. And the Word of God never takes fruit and bears fruit in their life. And you know, all they do is they suck up nutrients and make the wheat less productive. You know how you can tell if a tare is next to your child? Because your child doesn't do as well for the Lord as he did before the tare was there. You know how you can tell if there's a tare in the ministry? Because that ministry doesn't do as good as it did before the tare was there. You know how you can tell if there's tares in church? Because the church starts not doing as good as it used to be doing before all these tares came and started sucking up the nutrients and being next to those good Christians. The church was doing better before the leaves came along. And you know what happened to us? We fell asleep. We stopped guarding. We stopped watching. We stopped having a critical eye. We stopped praying. We stopped asking God for protection. And we started looking for numbers instead of... We don't want to get a bunch of people here to count people. We want people here because people count. And we started looking at what they could bring us instead of what God wanted us to do for them and in their life, and instead of seeing how God would, if God brings someone to this church, the reason He brings them here is for us to help that person grow. And you know what? We start looking at how they can help us grow. And we fall asleep and we let things slip and we stop looking out for all the warning signs and we don't even need to see the fruit anymore. You know the devil does? Tear. Tear, 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 tear. He can plant two or three tares in a church and mess a church up. The Word of God doesn't take effect on him. And you say, well, that's okay. We'll just pull the tare up. You know, the problem with pulling the tares up is they get their roots tangled in with the wheat. And then the wheat gets pulled up. And I'll never cease to be amazed by people that go to church and call themselves Christians, and they don't have fellowship with other Christians, but they have no problem having fellowship with lost people. Is that ever birds of a feather, you know? What concord has Christ with Belial? He that believeth with the infidel, light with darkness. Listen, one thing I will tell you is I'm born again and I'm a Christian and I march to the beat of a different drum. The thief plants them, the tares, and brings them in to destroy things. And you know why you're asleep? Because you think your work's already done. Your work's not done. You have no reason to fall asleep. Work for the night is coming. Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. And you're not where you need to be in your Christian life. You don't need to fall asleep. Be not weary in well-doing. The Lord says, you let them grow together and I'll sort them out. And you know what the problem is tares get planted in families. And tares get planted in couples. And you try to root up a tare, and you destroy the wheat. Say, how do you know that? Because I've loved tares before. Right? And people try to say, hey. Hey. There's a tare here. And you know what you say? I wish that you would have a heart for people and have compassion. It's because of people like you. Now, you just love a tear. And that's okay. Let them grow together. God will sort them out. But you and I just need to be aware and be very well aware that the enemy, in order to destroy, sows tares. And according to the parable, those tares are children of the devil. They're not children of the Lord. Don't fall asleep. The devil uses good things to, you know, you get zealous and you want to see somebody get saved, so you squeak a profession of faith out of them that never was genuine, and then the tares in the wheat, the wheat says, oh, so-and-so saved, and let's start putting our roots together. There's no roots there. And we just say, well, what do? Just keep planting and keep planting and keep planting, because you know what the Lord will do? He'll bundle them together. Our job is to be evangelists, not to be detectives. The best hedge against tares is to have healthy wheat and healthy soil. You know, when a tare messes the wheat up the most, when the wheat's small and young. With the weeds, when the plant is juvenile and doesn't have a good root system, that's when the tare messes the wheat up. As the wheat matures and grows and begins to bear fruit, the wheat just looks down and says, oh, there's a weed there. I wish it wasn't there, but there's a wheat there. And it doesn't stop the wheat from doing what the wheat's supposed to do. So you know what we have to do as mature wheat? We have to protect our little wheat until our little wheat can grow up to protect itself. We have to feed it and nourish it and put nutrients on it. And we have to bring our little wheat to Sunday school so our little wheat can learn about the Bible. We have to bring our little wheat to church so our little wheat understands that this isn't just something for mom and dad. This is something for me, and I need to grow up and be my own wheat. And you need to protect that wheat and keep the tares away from that wheat. Don't let it get planted next to the little wheat. Don't fall asleep. You know, Paul said, I know this after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They'll arise from our own self. They'll come in here with their agendas and their perversion and the only way to tell a tree is by its fruit. And then look at this. We'll move on. So he, number one, he takes away the word. Number two, he plants false plants, plants tares and lost church members and lost friends and lost people. He plants tares in your life to try to destroy you. And then number three, look at this. It says in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven. No, where's the one about the mustard seed? 31. He put forth, and another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. What was the fowl in the earlier parable? What was it? It was the devil. Right? The fowl of the air, they come and they lodge in the branches as this mustard tree, which typified the kingdom, grew and started putting out branches, then the birds of the air, they came and lodged in the nest, in the branches. And the church had very small beginnings, but it grew, and now it has a branch everywhere in this world. The church has a branch, and there's people that are saved somewhere, and there's a branch there. But also in the branches of the church, there's fowls of the air that are there to mess things up, and they're devils. And you know what happens as our church grows and starts putting out branches? We have youth ministry, we have master's club, and we're trying to do discipleship and outreach and missions, and it'd be sure nice if we could have a financial ministry where we could, you know, teach people about finances. Hopefully we'll be able to do that this year, and we can have a discipleship ministry, which is really big on my heart. But you know what's going to happen as these things branch out, and we've already seen it happen? The devil is going to come and try to lodge in the nursery. And he's going to try to mess that ministry up. And you know what the fowls of the air do? They stay away from the gardener. They wait till he's gone and they sneak around the back door and they flutter up in the branches and they watch things and they talk to the people that go on the way. And when the gardener comes by, they fly off. They do their business in secret. They hide in the branches. And you know what? If you are in a ministry and you have some level of responsibility in that ministry, you need to pray and be on the lookout for the fowls of the air that are going to come and try to mess it up. The Lord tries to, He uses people, and I try to keep the fowls of the air out, but you know what? The Lord needs you to help keep those fowls out too, and pray and hedge against them and question and be on the lookout for the fowls. Because you know what the fowls do? They sit on the branches and they put more weight on the branch than it can handle. And you know what happens when you put more weight on the branch than it can handle? It snaps. And now all of a sudden, all the energy of the mustard seed plant has went into repairing that branch instead of branching out more. Right? And I see this happen all the time. The devil goes and he lodges in those branches, and they were not made for him, but he takes advantage of them and uses them for a nesting place. And now we have to put all our energy into preparing what the devil did. We spend a lot of time repairing what the devil messed up by lodging in our branches. You know what he'll try to do? He'll try to come and lodge in the pulpit, and someone will get upset at the preaching, and it'll cut off their ear so they can't get help anymore. He'll go and lodge wherever he can, and instead of preparing, we have to start repairing. He'll try to go lodge in the choir ministry, in the music ministry, and try to get people upset and confused and stop focusing on them being there to bring glory and honor to God. And you know what the best way to keep the birds out of the garden is? Stay in the garden. The best way to keep the birds out of the garden is to have the presence of the gardener there. I grew a bunch of tomatoes, and I like growing things. And I grew these big mortgage lifter, you know, the non-GMO ones, whatever those were called, the organic, the hippie tomatoes, you know? They didn't shave or wear deodorant, and amen, these just wild tomatoes, amen? They were probably from like Portland or something. They smelled like patchouli juice. They're crazy, right? And I grew these big tomatoes. They got about that big, and you know what happened? The fowls of the air came, and they lodged on my tomatoes, and they started eating the fruit. And I'd go out to pick my tomatoes, and there's a big hole in it where the stinking bird ate a hole out of my tomato. And you know what I would do? I'd sit there and watch those plants. I was supposed to be pastoring a church and studying, but instead I sat out there and watched my garden. I'm going to protect my hippie tomatoes. Amen? And every time a bird showed up, you know what I'd do? I'd run out in the garden and he'd go away. You know what the Bible says? He says, look well to thy flocks. You take care of it. You be diligent. You know the state of thy flock. And you got to scare him out of the branches. We recognize when he's there because growth has stopped and progress has stopped. And now we've tried to support this branch and we got to keep him out of the tree. Remember when they saw the Lord? You know who they thought he was? They thought he was the gardener. Right? Be vigilant. Keep working with your... Put a scarecrow out there. You know what you need to do? You need to put something in your garden that scares the devil out of those branches. Scarecrow. Amen? Spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure the Lord, the presence... You know, the greatest protection we can ever have is the presence of the Lord. And having the Lord in the midst of our church and present at our services. And you know what that will do? That'll scare the devils out of the branches. Look at Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. And we're almost done. The Bible says, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And you know what happens when things begin to fall apart? It just becomes a habitation of devils. And I don't know about you, but I've been to churches like that, that were that description there. It was like a cage of foul, unclean spirits. I've been to families that were like that. Just a mess. He's out to destroy you. And the greatest protection is salvation. You know what the Bible says? It says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil... It doesn't say be somber, but be sober. I'm thankful the Lord gave me a sense of humor. It helps in pastoring churches. And amen. But he said be sober. You don't have to walk around like you're a cheerleader for an accident waiting to happen. Some people are accident cheerleaders, you know. But you know what you do? You put on the whole armor of God. And you wake up to the fact that the devil is alive and well, and he's trying to work. And these are some of the ways that he tries to work. Amen? So we'll keep him out of here. I read this, and this doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but a philosopher is a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. And you know what the trouble is he always finds it. Amen? All right. Let us stand and we will pray and be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for so many people that came to church tonight instead of watching Michael Vick and his pit bulls. And Lord, I thank you for their interest in the Word of God. And we pray that you would protect our church and our families and our children from the devil, Lord, and help us to understand how he works and be vigilant and resist him steadfast in the Lord. And Father, thank you for the wisdom you've given us and the lessons you've taught us. Help us always to have a tender heart, Lord, and have our heart plowed up to receive the word so the devil doesn't take it away, Lord. And help us to be always mindful and awake for the tares that are sown, Lord. And help us to get the scarecrow going and chase him out of the branches, Lord. Father, please, as we go our ways to our work and school tomorrow and the various things that we've done, help us always to have our light shining. Help us to be the salt of the earth, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid.